This is LBC, leading Britain's conversation with Clive Bull.
We're talking about online safety and the banning of social media for under-16s. Sue in Wakefield says, with regard to under-16s using social media and your lady's concerns earlier, in Australia, where it's already happened, adults were totally unaffected. OK, good to know, Sue. Thank you very much for that. Now, on that subject, let's talk a little more about this change that is being proposed by the government. A crackdown on social media firms. They want to get on with it, get it done within this coming year, preferably, so we're told this morning. Let's get a tech perspective on this now from Fevzi Turkalp from GadgetDetective.com and the Gadget Detective podcast. Fevzi, what do you think of all this?
Well, I mean, obviously Australia has done this and other countries are in the process of doing something similar. I am a little bit concerned because I think that they're talking about having legislation in place this year, and that in parliamentary terms is quite rushed. And I think it's in danger of becoming a sort of Dangerous Dogs Act Mark II of having poorly thought out legislation. And this is a particularly difficult area to work out what you should be doing and then how to make it work in practice. It's going to be very difficult for them.
Yeah, that's always the difficulty, isn't it? Because on the one hand, you don't want to rush things through, especially when it's complicated. But equally, how many times have we been told, well, we'll have a consultation? And I mean, the Online Safety Act has seemed to be going on for years.
Yeah, and it's because it's a particularly wide-ranging piece of legislation, the Online Safety Act. I would say that there's actually quite a lot that needs to be done in terms of making the Online Safety Act a reality on the ground, and particularly in terms of enforcement against social media companies. So they have all these powers. We've yet to see them be used significantly. There has been a fine, £800,000 to a pornographic website recently, but in terms of the social media sites, I think that there's a lot more low-hanging fruit for things that they've already legislated for. And I don't want it to be that they give the social media companies a free pass and crack down on the freedoms of the population because it's easier to do it. And there is that issue, you know, that whilst we try to, you know, save children from harm, which of course is laudable, we have to have some sort of balance between the privacy and independence. Otherwise, we risk turning into China or Iran in terms of our internet policy.
You mean particularly in terms of proving your age one way or another? That sort of exposes your details.
Yes, because, well, it's a challenge to prove age without identity. There are ways of doing it, and Apple has been doing some useful work on that. But yes, you have to be a little bit concerned that whilst the government sells these changes in terms of protecting young people and children, that it also puts an awful lot more control in the hands of the general population, how we communicate any semblance of privacy that we had. And there has to be a balance, you know, because you could solve crime, or you could prevent all crime by putting everyone in prison, but we don't do that because that's excessive. It can be excessive here to monitor people too closely, that it will stifle a free and democratic process.
So what are the ways in which you could, if we look at the social media ban for under-16s, how could you make that work? Does it have to come down to some kind of age verification that basically the whole population would have to go through?
Yes. I mean, what Apple has been working on, for example, is a system whereby they verify your age, and then they can provide a verification token in the same way that you've got Apple Pay and Google Pay, and you pay, but they don't get your credit card details or your debit card details. They get a promissory token, and your information is kept separate. They are working on a system whereby Apple will verify or Google will verify your age, but then they will not necessarily have to give your date of birth or your identity. They will just say this user is over 16, over 18, whatever the question is, and they'll be able to do it. That sounds to me the most promising way. What you don't What I wouldn't personally want to see is, you know, people having to upload their papers, their documents, you know, and not least because that raises all sorts of security issues. We know that companies are not perfect at keeping our information secure. And, you know, would you really want your passport or your birth certificate or other such documents being stolen because you've had to upload them online? I wouldn't be in favour of that. So I think something that verifies age is fair enough, but it has to be done, in my view, in a way that still gives people the right of privacy. And it is technically possible to do something along those lines, but my concern is that this isn't just about protecting children. This is about governments having more control. And one might be comfortable with that now, but I think you always have to think about, well, what if you had a slightly more authoritarian government take over? You know, and we've seen that there are, you know, governments do change their ilk in quite short periods of time, and systems like this would allow them to monitor and control the communications of entire populations.
So they have already got this law in place that affects porn sites with a requirement in this country for verification. How has that been working? Has it been working?
Many porn sites have introduced what has been demanded of them, which is an age verification system. Before, sites would just have like a self-declaration, are you over 18 or 16? And people would just say yes and on they go. That doesn't happen so much now. Now they try to verify your age in various ways. Some of them require documents. Some of them require seeing you on video. And using AI to estimate your age. You know, there are various techniques being used. One site didn't do it, and as I say, got fined £800,000. Other sites of that nature have withdrawn from the UK market. Now, that's, you know, you might say, well, good riddance, it was a porn site. But the fact is that, as far as I understand it, the content was legal for adults, and adults have now been denied, in the UK, have been denied access to that because the cost of compliance was so high, or because they disagreed with it on principle.
And the VPNs, which also the government are going to look at, they're looking at ways of blocking children from accessing VPNs. Just explain what that is and whether that would work.
Sure. So virtual private network is a VPN, and it's a tool that effectively creates a tunnel between you and the service that you're accessing on the internet. So even your internet service provider, in theory, cannot see the information that's flowing between you and that site. Now, blocking, and therefore it can also make you appear to be in another country. And therefore, if restrictions are put on UK users, I can be in Albania, or I can be in Tasmania, or, you know, Tanzania, whatever. It's quite an easy way to circumvent those things. Now, that's true, but there are millions of legitimate users of VPNs in this country, businesses, remote workers, privacy-conscious individuals, people in coffee shops and public places. If you're going to use the Wi-Fi in those places, you should, and I've been saying this for years, you should be using a VPN, because you're sitting on a network which is public, and other people on the same Wi-Fi network could be hacking your device. So is the government going to indemnify us when we get our data stolen because they've banned VPNs? These are legitimate tools.
Or could they, you know, maybe just ban children from using VPNs? Is that practical, technically possible?
Well, okay. Well, first of all, they shouldn't, because children also have legitimate uses for VPNs. As I say, if they're using their smartphone in a public place, the last thing they should be doing is accessing Wi-Fi without a VPN. So they have a legitimate use for it as well. In terms of then making it a reality, well, you know, there's things that they could do. They could criminalize it. Make a circumvention using a VPN and a criminal offence, but then they'd have to detect it, How are they going to do that? Are they going to put new requirements on our internet service providers to monitor this sort of thing? Blocking VPNs at ISP level is difficult because VPN providers will just rotate their IP addresses. New providers will emerge daily, so having a list of them won't particularly help. And it will just be a game of cat and mouse, a sort of technological arms race. You could try and remove VPNs from app stores. That will, you know, go a certain way, but then Android users will sideload VPNs. That's to say they'll load the app, not going through an app store itself. So it's probably more sensible to get people to age verify, but to try and do it in a way that respects the privacy of the general population, as well as the privacy of younger people as well. I do worry that this is a very politically easy thing for you know, politicians to say that they're doing it, looks good, and on the face of it is, who's going to argue about protecting children from harm? But it has to be done in a way that respects the privacy and freedoms of the general population as well.
Absolutely. Fevzi, thank you very much indeed. That's Fevzi Turkalp from GadgetDetective.com and the Gadget Detective podcast. Thank you very much, Fevzi.